Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of James. Book of James. We'll start in chapter 1. This is God's word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of humble circumstances boast in his exaltation, but let the rich boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. For the sun rises, and together with the scorching wind dries up the grass. Its flower falls off, and its beautiful appearance perishes. In the same way, the rich person will wither away while pursuing his activities. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, "I'm being tempted by God," since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This short letter was written by James. Who's James? Well, there are a number of people in the New Testament that are named James, and the book of James doesn't tell us which of them this is. But the history within the church, the tradition within the church across the centuries, has been that this James was Jesus' younger brother, which makes it all the more remarkable that when he introduces himself, he doesn't say, James, the brother of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Okay? I mean, that's what I'd want to do. I'd want to say, hey, I grew up with him. But James doesn't do that. James identifies himself as a servant of God and of the Lord, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something. Whether or not this was Jesus' brother, this is the way you want to be remembered. What do you want people to know about you? How do you want to be remembered?
Well, I want them to know that I was the fastest runner in East Tennessee.
Wow. And if you're from West Tennessee, that means zip. Okay? Well, I want to be remembered as the fastest runner in the whole state of Tennessee. Well, there are 50 states. Okay? You know, the things that most of us think of as making us sort of set apart, different from the rest, better than somebody else, it's nothing. You know what matters? A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to know. That's all you have to know. Everything else goes away. Please make that your aim, that you would find your identity in him, that you don't really care if people remember you. You want them to remember him, because he's the one who can save them, not you and me. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. To the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Now that sounds like a contradiction. Is he a smart aleck? I mean, what's the deal? He says when you're going through tough times, consider it a joy. In other words, you get to decide what your outlook is going to be. You can choose your attitude. Did you know that?
Oh, I just can't help it. I just feel down.
You don't have to be like that. You can choose to look at it differently if you gain some biblical perspective. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, different kinds of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Something good is going to come of this. When you heat up the oven, it probably means you're going to bake something. And it's going to be better when it comes out of the oven than it was when it went into the oven. Amen? Your life is going to be better as a result of the trials that you go through. And if you know that, then when you're going through various trials, you can choose to rejoice and to consider it great joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, this week, you're going to be going through testing here at school. It's on the schedule. I saw that. But I want you to understand something about testing. It's actually good for you. It helps you grow stronger. You will come out better for having been tested because you, not only will we know some stuff you need to work on, but you'll know some stuff you need to work on. When we go through testing, there are things that show up in our lives. And we realize, oh, I thought I was pretty strong in that area, but it looks like it was just a bubble and now it's popped. Okay? That happens. Then he says, now if any of you lacks wisdom, the goal here is that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. That's the goal. That's the product of being tested properly over time. Various kinds of testing. But he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Now, is that a contradiction? He says, on the one hand, if you lack wisdom, ask God. God will give it to you generously. Then he says to this person over here, don't you expect to receive anything? Well, I thought God gives generously. God gives generously to people who want wisdom because they want to do God's will. But if you ask God for what he wants you to do so that you can decide whether or not that's what you want to do, you're being double-minded. Do you want to do God's will or do you just want to know it so you can decide what you want? If you just want to know God's will so that you can make up your own mind and do what pleases you, forget it. Don't expect to get any input from God. Because all it would do is increase your accountability. You and I are accountable for what we know. And if you're asking God for wisdom, but you're not committed to doing the will of God, don't expect to get direction from on high. Expect instead that your life is going to be very unstable, that you're going to be tossed around like the waves on the sea. If you want to know the will of God, you better be committed to doing it, whatever it is, whatever it costs.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Let the brother of humble circumstances boast in his exaltation. In other words, if it looks like right now your life is kind of in the pits, it's a tough situation. Rejoice, because I'm going through various trials. Well, yes, and because it is going to change. God has declared that he's going to raise you up. Okay? So you can rejoice in your humble circumstances. But let the rich boast in his humiliation. Well, why would he do that? Because he wants to be realistic and he needs to know that riches don't last. And if your money outlives you, you say, oh no, I have such a fortune that, well, that's still a humiliation because do you understand? You may have enough money to last for generations, but you won't. So the point here is know that no matter what your position is in life, you're going to be like the flowers of the field. They wither and perish. Understand that. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. And don't be panicked about it. Rejoice in it. He says, boast in the fact you're going to pass away like a flower of the field. Well, boast in that? Yeah, because what you're recognizing is the one thing that matters, the one thing that lasts is your relationship with the Lord. All the rest goes away. It all goes away. And you don't have to be afraid. You need to know where you're going. You need to know who makes your life valuable. It's not the muscles. It's not the money. It's not the music. All the things of this earth pass away like the flowers of the field. You can enjoy flowers, but if you think they're going to stay forever, you have to get plastic flowers. And even they don't last. Blessed is the one who endures trials. Because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Oh, how beautiful. Do you know what we're supposed to be doing? Loving the Lord. That's what matters. He'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who outrun the others. Nope. To those who are better looking. Nope. To those who are smarter. Nope. To those who love him. If we fail in that, we just fail. It's about loving God. And we love him because he first loved us. We don't love him so that he'll love us. We believe the good news. And as a result of believing the good news and knowing that we are loved by him, we love him. And if we love him, we're going to receive the crown of life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to heaven because I've been good. I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved me. No one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God. Adam tried to explain his sin by saying, oh, it was the woman that you gave me. She got me to do it. That's what we're like. We want to blame our sin on somebody else. And a lot of people blame God for the stuff they do wrong. If you're undergoing a trial, no one should say, I'm being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. Where does our temptation come from then? Well, a ton of it comes from down inside us. We have a sin nature. Each person is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. How many of you have evil desires? We're enticed by our own evil desires, and the problem is, if when those evil desires come, we try and hide them and nurse them and feed them, then they grow. And pretty soon, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. It's a process, folks. And the problem is, when some of us start into sin, we seem, oh, well, this isn't very much. I mean, it's just a little thing. And I don't see what... And soon we've fallen off a cliff. It's a process. It's compared to a pregnancy. You know how big that little zygote is when it starts out? You wouldn't be able to see it with your eye. After a while, it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. But pretty soon, it's there. You can see it. It's got features. Pretty soon, ladies are walking around like this, like, when is this thing going to come out? Right? Sin grows like that, in the dark, slowly over time, But unfortunately, when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Have you ever had a little problem that grew into a big problem? Let me just tell you something. You need to deal with it while it's teeny tiny. Don't tolerate it. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. God is not the one tempting you to sin. Instead, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth. By the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want you to understand something. God is for us, not against us. All the good things in this life come from him. All the beauty. Those flowers that fade, but they're beautiful for a short time, God invented all those. All the creatures in the forest. Everything beautiful, music and our ability to hear come from God. Every good thing, love, peace, joy, every good thing comes from him. The devil will try and tell you that God is out to keep you from having a good life. God's trying to rob you of joy. If you live for God, you'll be miserable. That's an absolute lie that is being fed to us by somebody who knows he's on his way to the lake of fire and wants you to come with him. Don't fall for it. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's all from him. Do you like sports? Yes, but I didn't think it was okay to say so around you. Yeah, no, it's okay. But I want you to understand there would be no such thing as athletic excellence if it weren't for God. He designed our bodies. Those reflexes that we have that are very helpful to us, so that if you touch something hot, instead of cooking your hand while you try and figure out if you ought to move it, okay? Instead, when you touch something hot, you go like that, don't you? Why? You didn't think about that. You didn't think, I am burning my hand. I need to move my hand. You don't have to. God built reflexes into us because he loves us. You understand? Folks, we are living in a world that is under a curse and displays brokenness because of sin. Even in a broken, cursed version of creation, it's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. Do you understand that? If you look out and you see the mountains and you see the mist rising up and you think, wow, that's beautiful. God made that. If you have the wit to look and see a sunset and realize that's magnificent, and if I stand here and watch it, it's going to change into another magnificent scene. And if I keep on watching, it's going to continue to change into another magnificent scene. God made that. God designed that. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change. Everything here is changing. He does not change. He's always the same. You can always count on him. You can always trust in him. Dear brothers and sisters, when you go through difficult times, consider it a joy, because God is working in your life to make you whole and complete in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.